Now, as we continue taking some lessons from the Gospel according to Luke, I want to direct your attention today to chapter 10, the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'll commence my reading at verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. When he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, said unto him, Take care of him, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now which of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we bow our hearts in thy holy presence, desiring to thank thee again for every blessing thou hast conferred upon us, thou hast been so kind to us. We'll never cease to thank thee for thy great love expressed in sending thy Son to die on the cross. We thank thee for the Saviour. And oh, we do pray that even now, while people are listening to this broadcast, thy blessing may rest upon them. May some poor, struggling, fallen sinner find Christ today, and may some of thy dear people be edified. Hear us in these things now, and bring glory to thy name, exaltation to thy beloved Son, as we ask all, giving thanks in his precious name. Amen. Now, as I turn your attention to this particular passage today, it would be obvious to you in reading down through these verses how that Luke, the writer, doesn't speak, as it were, in the mist. He comes out very clear about what he's got to say. For example, when he started writing his gospel, he said, For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now it's that expression, that thou mightest know the certainty. And this becomes a very popular word with the writer, with Luke. He speaks of things that are certain. So when we come to chapter 10, he tells us here about a certain lawyer that stood up, asking questions of the Lord and tempting him. And then he tells of a certain man who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then he tells of a certain priest that went down that way. And then he speaks of a certain Samaritan. So you see, Luke here is dealing with certain things. He's not writing, as it were, about things he has simply heard. He's stating these things with absolute certainty. Now I may suggest this, that when you come to the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, that is the way you ought to approach it. That you're handling things of which you can be absolutely sure. You can be certain of the things that are in the Word of God. Now, notice that this certain lawyer, of course, he's a man who was supposed to understand the law. Therefore, he approaches the Lord Jesus on the basis of law. And so he said to him, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He was going back to the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ took him up on that very basis and said, "Now, why do you ask me that? If you're a lawyer, what is written in the law? How readest thou?" In plain words, have you read, have you understood the law that you're supposed to have studied? If so, how do you interpret that law? And the man answered him, and he gave him an excellent answer. The Lord Jesus said, "All right, that's it. This do, and thou shalt live." That's on the basis of the Old Testament. But still the man is not satisfied. And willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Will you kindly note now that expression, willing to justify himself? But isn't that the attitude of a great number of people today? There are those who try to justify themselves. They'll justify the manner of life that they live. They'll try to justify their own actions. They'll try to justify their own speech. They'll justify their own manner of life. But that is not the important thing, my friend. The important thing is this. How is a man justified with God? It's not a matter of asking, how do I justify myself? Because we'll all seek to justify ourselves and our deeds. But how do we stand in the light of the searchlight of God's righteousness? And so the Lord Jesus begins to answer this man, and he tells him this beautiful story about the man who went down. Now let us look a little then, first of all, at the man who went down, and then we'll read and consider the man who came down. Now, in thinking of the man who went down, there are three stages that we might consider about this man. First of all, he was a man of privilege. And then we consider the pathway that the man travelled and the plight in which the man found himself. But speaking of a man who went down, may I remind all my listeners today that a great number of people have gone down. I'm sure if you haven't gone down yet, my friend, I'm sure that you know a lot of people who have. You may be acquainted with them. For example, I know some men who went down in business, some of them through no fault of their own. They were carrying on their business, and they were prospering, and then all of a sudden the depression came, and in the midst of the depression, their business went bankrupt through no fault of their own. If the people that had owed them money had paid them, they would never have gone bankrupt. But it so happened these people couldn't pay them, and they couldn't pay their creditors, and so they had to declare bankruptcy and went out of business. They went down. Other people have gone down in health. Some people have been strong and healthy, and all of a sudden they've fallen into the grip of some disease. They've lost their health. But I'm sure of this. You have known people who have gone down financially. They've gone down in business. But they have started again at the bottom. They've worked their way up and they have become prosperous men. They've risen again. You have known of others who have lost their health, have gone down in health. But they've risen again. They've regained their health. And they've been able again to live a normal life. Ah, but there's another way in which people have gone down. Some people have gone down morally, and they've never risen. Some people have blasted their lives. They've blasted their character. They have become involved in things that landed them not only in a lawsuit, but they've become involved in things that have landed them in jail. And some of them have spent a lot of years behind prison bars, all because they've gone down. But let me remind all my listeners today, but for the grace of God, we would all have fallen down. But for the grace of God, we might have been worse than these people that sometimes we pity. The thing is this, if we had been tempted to the extent that they were tempted, we also might have fallen the same as them. When people go down, never look down your nose at these poor fallen creatures. If a man goes down in business, don't gloat over it. It may be your turn next. If people lose their health, my friend, remember, it could be me or it could be you tomorrow. If people go down morally and fall into the devil's trap of sin, no matter what the bait may be, if people go down morally, remember, better men than you and better men than me have fallen, and we also could fall. So let us never look down our nose at poor fallen sinners. But this man in the story that the Lord told was a man of great privilege. You say, how do you know? Well, you see, the man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, which seems to suggest that his home was in the capital city of Jerusalem. That was a place of great privilege in these days. He was living in the city where God had placed his name. There was the place where the great temple had been built by Solomon. It was the very hub. It was the center of national life. And all those that lived around that countryside would make it their business to go up to Jerusalem at least 3 times in the year. But here was a man who lived. That was his home, the place where God had placed his name, the city where the great holy temple was built, where people went to worship. It was the city then that bore the testimony for God. That was a great privilege. Perhaps my voice is reaching someone today who has been raised in an atmosphere of privilege. Am I speaking to someone who was brought up in a good home? Am I speaking to someone who had a Christian father and a Christian mother? Am I speaking to someone who attended Sunday school for many years? But it may be, my friend, in spite of all the privileges conferred upon you, the fact that you were raised in a country like this, where we have many, many privileges that other people don't have, the fact that you can have the Bible in this country and still yet able to read it, no one interfering with you, you can read the Bible, and you can pray, you can listen to the Word being preached over the air day after day. The Word of God goes forth in this great land of ours. It may be then I'm speaking to someone, and you've lived a sheltered life, you've been privileged. Then may I ask you now, in spite of all your privileges, what pathway are you treading? You see, this man that's spoken about in this parable, the Lord Jesus said about him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. That was the pathway that he chose. Now, may I remind you that it was downward. Yes, actually, it's downward. It's a tremendous drop from Jerusalem down to the Dead Sea. And yet, the city of Jericho is built right there down at the Dead Sea. Actually, literally, it's a downward path. But all taking spiritually now, my friend, remember, is downward. It's from the city of blessing down to the city of the curse. Jericho The original Jericho was destroyed when the children of Israel came in and took possession of the land. And then God pronounced a curse on any man that would ever seek again to rebuild that city. And yet, there was a man who defied God and began to build the city of Jericho. So Jericho was built in defiance of God. It was a city of infidelity. More than that, it was a city of immorality. Yet he was a man going down from the holy city of Jerusalem, down to the city of infidelity, where men defy God. It was a dangerous pathway, for down that road between Jerusalem and Jericho, there were highway robbers, men who were ready to pounce upon the wayfaring man. My friend, let me remind you of this, that today, when men and women decide to take the path of sin, when you turn your back upon your Father's God, when you turn your back upon the Lord Jesus Christ and determine to take the pathway of sin and travel away without God and travel from God, you're walking a dangerous path. There are enemies around you ready to come upon you. Now watch what happened. The man was left in a plight. While he was there, there were those thieves that came there. They stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead and dying. Notice, first of all, the man was stripped of all the material things that he had. He lost his possessions. Then they wounded him, and so he was hurt physically. They left him half dead and dying, nothing he could do for himself. In plain words, if no one had come to his assistance, he'd have died and gone into eternity. It would have affected him spiritually. You know, you have enemies in this life. The world is against you. The devil is against you, and the old flesh is against you. The devil, in particular, is ready to drag you down to a lost eternity. He doesn't mind whether he wounds you physically, or strips you materially, or destroys you spiritually. Here's where the man is lying in all his plight. I wonder if my word is reaching today to somebody like this man. Maybe you were treading the pathway of sin. Everything seemed fine until you landed in the devil's trap. You find yourself today wounded. Not only wounded in body, but wounded in spirit. You find yourself wounded, my friend, in your heart, in your mind. You don't know which way to turn. The whole world has gone against you, so you think. Oh, my friend, listen. In that dire plight, you need a helping hand. Now watch. There were two people came down there. One was a priest, a very religious man. And the other a Levite, also a religious man. These two religious men came down and both passed by on the other side. One of them, of course, took time to look at him, and on he went. It would seem to me that as they looked on that man, there was nothing they could gain for themselves. The fellow couldn't do anything for them. He stood in need of their help, but they were not prepared to give it. They passed by. I wonder what his thoughts were if he had lifted his languid eyes and watched these men, unable to lift his hand to wave to them to ask for help. Unable perhaps to cry to them, lying there in all his plight, half dead and dying, stripped. Perhaps they just shook their head and said, poor fellow, he's himself to blame. Ah, but there's a man who came down. Let us look at the man who came down. Because it says, and a certain Samaritan as he journeyed. Now remember, the Samaritans were despised people, despised by the Jews. Yet here was a despised man who came down. And when he came, he looked at him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. He was a man of purpose. As he journeyed, he came to where the man lay in all his need. My friend, let me tell you, if other people couldn't bring any help to the poor sinner, I think of the Lord Jesus Christ who left heaven's glory And he came down to this place, right into the very jaws of death, in order to help poor, fallen, sinful men. Sinners like you and me, the Lord Jesus Christ came to where we lay in all our need. But this man was not only a man of purpose, and the Lord Jesus, of course, was a man of purpose. He came into this world to save sinners. That's a true saying. But he was also a man of provision. One day there was an accident on a main highway. There was a man lying there on the highway verge, and he also was in a critical stage. A car passed and stopped. A man came out of the car and came running back. Asked some of the people standing round what happened. As he looked at the man, he says, "Oh my, he's in a bad way." And he says, "You know, I happen to be a doctor, but unfortunately, I'm on vacation today, and I don't have my bag with me. If I had had my doctor's bag, I could have helped the man." Oh, here was a man who was willing. He was there, all right. He had a certain measure of knowledge, but he didn't have the equipment to help the man. Oh, my friend, listen. This good Samaritan was there. He was a man of provision. He had something to cleanse the wounded man. And he had oil to cure the wounded man. And he had a beast to carry the man. He lifted him up. He poured in the oil and the wine. He put him on his own beast. He bandaged him up. And he carried him to a place where he would be cared for. You see, this man just reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this Samaritan may have been a despised man, but he was willing to help even those that despised him. He came to the man in a time of need. The Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainting himself with our grief. And he comes to the very place where we are, and I care not, my friend, where you are at this time. Whether you're driving in your own car, or sitting in your own home, or in your office, or perhaps in hospital, or it may be you're in prison, I care not. The Savior will draw near. He's both able and willing to help. He's both able and willing to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by Him. Now notice what He did. He took the man to the place where he would be cared for. And here's what He said. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence. Now, you may not think that's very much. But remember, these particular coins that he gave him, each one represented a day's wages. So he said, "I'll pay for him for 2 days. And I'll be back again. Take care of him. Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Look after him for these 2 days. I'll be back. And if it costs more than that, I'll pay the rest. I will repay thee." He was a man of promise. May I remind you, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ was also a man of promise. Not only does He save us now from the penal consequences of our sins, not only does He save us day by day from the indwelling power of sin, He has promised to come again and save us from the very presence of sin. He said, "If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here's the man who came down to help us. The Lord Jesus Christ is a man of purpose. He came to save. A man of provision. He has provided all that we need for salvation. He's a man of promise. He has promised to come again, take us home to be forever with Himself.